Well, glory to God. Well, are we excited this morning? Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is at work among us, and His glory is filling the house. Isn't that exciting? Do you know the presence of God? Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, with all that you are? Well, that is why we are here, isn't it? It's because of what Jesus has done for us. And we are so greatly impacted by the Spirit of God and the workings of God in our life that we can't hold back. We cannot resist. We must worship the Lord. We must honor Him and acknowledge Him. And it's something that God has birthed in us through the new life that Christ has imparted to us. And to me, that's exciting. And that's what makes life so exciting, because every day is a new adventure and you never know what is going to happen next. And that is why serving the Lord is so exciting. It's so much fun. It's challenging. It's difficult. It is something that brings us new challenges every day. Yet, with the strength of God, we are able to overcome. And that is why it's so exciting to be a child of God. And so I pray that you're excited about that and that you see life in that way, from that perspective, that God is doing something awesome in the midst of His people. And that is who we are. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we are talking about being citizens of the holy city and how important it is to always be reminded of the fact that you and I are not of this world. We are of a completely different realm. We have been born of the Spirit of God. Yes, we still have human bodies. Yes, we still have functioning physical attributes. Yet we are multidimensional. We have been born into the realm of the Spirit of God. God has given us the ability to commune and interact with Him. And we are citizens of this new place. We are born from above, as we've been talking about. We have been born anew, born from God, born of a spirit that comes from God. We are the children of God. That's what makes us children of God. And so we understand how important it is to be born again, to be born of the Spirit of God. And so we have looked at even the life of Gideon as we have been looking at him and seeing how it parallels to us, how his life and his experience relates to us, and how we too are in a similar situation as Gideon. And as we are walking with God and communing with God, our everyday life is one that is practical, yet it is spiritual. And depending on our spiritual strength and perceptive abilities, that will determine the level of effectiveness that we will have as we live our life each day. And we must learn how to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. We must be able to follow Him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." And this is what God has enabled us to do by the Spirit of God. Now, this is Pentecost Sunday and Church Planting Sunday for the FCA. And this is the day that we are reminded of the power of God that is within us, that is available to us, that all we need to do is tap into the resource of God and allow Him to flow through us. This is what we are experiencing in our daily life. This is what we are learning. We're so used to living in the world apart from God that once we come to God, we have to learn how to adapt to the new opportunities that are now available to us through the realm of the Spirit. And we're used to just being impacted by whatever spirit we find ourselves around or in the midst of, and we kind of try to modulate ourselves as we deal with things. But God has given us power to overcome, and we have the strength and the ability to operate in the resources of God. And this is why it's important for us to know who we are. When you know who you are, it reminds you of the resources that you have. If Superman forgot he was from the planet Krypton, then he himself would merely be Clark Kent. But because he always remembers who he is, when the situation arises, suddenly he springs into action. And you and I must learn how to operate the same way. We are living in this world, but we have powers and abilities that transcend the world that we're in. And when we have opportunity, we seize those opportunities and we move and operate in the strength of the realm from whence we have come. And so we are looking today at Acts 1:8. And it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so this verse says something of what you and I are to understand. Jesus is speaking here after he has resurrected, and it's been 40 days since he has rose from the grave. And in the Word of God, 40 and 40 days are usually represents God bringing a time of judgment or great challenges upon the earth or the people. It is a time of temptation. It is a time where the people are dealing with the flesh, and it is a season where God enables us to understand that he has given us the ability to overcome, and God enables his people to overcome in that season, in that generation of time. And so Jesus is representing the consuming or the consummation or the fulfillment of the Old Testament time or season. It is the time where God is bringing in a new covenant. It is the covenant of the Spirit of God, the covenant of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It is a new age or season known as the church age. It is when God is now moving from dealing with an individual people or tribe to now impacting the entire world. God is now moving into a place where not just the Jews would be used of God to represent his kingdom, but now people from all over the world God is reaching. And that is because God's desire is that none would perish, but that all should come to eternal life. This is what God is doing among us today. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, I would like to use as a theme, power filled. Power filled. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us and that you would indeed fill us with your power, that you would ignite us with the strength of God, with the wisdom of God, and all that you are. God, we desire it from you, that you would arise in us, fill us, oh God, enable us that we might accomplish all that you have called us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there is nothing more exciting than being a child of God. And one of the reasons is because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, the anointing is what breaks the yokes of bondage. It is the anointing that enables you and I to have confirmation that the Spirit of God is with us. It is the quickening of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he speaks to us. He teaches us things. He brings things to our remembrance. He ignites our recall. And there is a witness of the Spirit. And it is the quickening of God, the stirring of God that is within us. And when we're in God's presence, you can sense it in the air. You can feel something. When God is speaking, when he's moving within you, something within you is charged. You get that little energizing quake that happens within us. I'm sure you have heard of the Quakers, right? You remember the Quakers back in the old day? Why were they called Quakers? Well, one of the reasons is because they had to shake. They would quake. They would do the ooh. They would, because of the Spirit of God. And they were known for a people who were experiencing God's presence and the power of God. And you and I, we need to know the power of God. We need to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And it requires that we would be filled with God to overflowing. Filled with God to overflowing. Not just a tasting, not just a seasoning, not just a sprinkling, but an empowerment of God. The infilling of God. And this is what the God has called us to experience in our life. This is what we all need as the people of God. And so I would like to go back to Judges chapter 6, where we were talking about Gideon, because I thought that this would be a great way for us to see what it is that God is accomplishing in our lives. In verse 25 of Judges 6, it says, "Now on the same night, the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it.'" So right here we see God speaking to Gideon, and he's telling him to first, he's got to clean up his own house. His father is a idol worshiper. There are things going on in Gideon's own family, in his own house, that are not pleasing to God. They're actually a hindrance to what God wants to do in Israel. Not just in his family, but what God wants to use him to accomplish. This is something we can learn from. When we are hearing from God, one of the first things God calls us to do is to get our house in order, that we would position ourselves so that we would be in a place of strength before God, so that we would be able to be the witnesses of God. We are to practice at home. We begin with our Christian witness in our own family, in our own home, in our own house. It begins by giving God first place in your life so that you can be an example to everyone in your house. Gideon was such an example in his father's house. And so God says to him, "Build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner. And take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down." So God is laying out this foundation. He is saying, "Oh, I am going to create out of your evil workings an altar that will be used to draw you closer to God." Because the burnt offering represents being drawn closer to God. And God will use your past. He will use your mistakes, your shortcomings, all of the things that you may have messed up in life. He will use that as a foundation to build an altar on. God will give you newness of life. He will transform you. He will bring you to a place where things begin to shift. Many times we look down on ourselves, and just as Gideon looked down on himself, he said, God, you can't use me. I'm the least in my father's house. I am somebody who comes from a whole lineage of people that are of low class, and we have no real status within Israel. We're just a humble people, and I'm the youngest. I'm the last person anyone would listen to. How can you use me? And so often we think of ourselves this way. We see ourselves as people who can't be used because of our family, because of our experiences, because of our sin, because of the issues and the problems that we have in our lives. But God says, I want to build a new altar on top of all of those things. All you need to do is pull them down. If you are willing to pull them down, then God says, I will take them and use them to help you draw closer to me. This is what God is doing in each of our lives. He is enabling us to overcome these challenges and difficulties that we have all faced in our past. In verse 27, it says, then Gideon, he took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night because he was afraid. And how many of us have experienced that fear? Where God is telling you to do something, you know what the right thing is to do, what you're supposed to do, what you should do, but something is just causing you to just hesitate, and you're fearful, we're afraid, and we're hindered in that moment from doing what God has called us to do. We've all faced it, and we start thinking, oh God, how can I do this? How can I do this? I'm so afraid. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want anything to happen to me. I don't want to suffer any pain. I don't want to go through anything. I just want to do it and get out and do what I have to do. How, God, how? And this is the situation that Gideon is in. He comes up with a plan. I will do it at night. And at night, he slips out and he does it. He obeys the Lord. Now, the Lord didn't tell him he couldn't do it at night. The Lord just said, you just need to do it. And he did it. He did it. Praise God, he did it. I bet you when he got home, he was like, yes, yes, I made it. I did it, God, I did it. I did it, we did it. I took 10 guys, but I did it, I did it. He didn't want to go alone. He took some people with him. He said, I'm going to get a posse together, and we're going to roll, and we're going to do this. This way, it's not just me. It's me and them. We're all together. It's us. And how much better do we feel when we're not alone? And I know that God's word tells us that we are never alone. He says that he is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. God is always with us. And so Gideon takes these men out by night, and they do what God has called them to do. You and I must do what God has called us to do. And no matter how we do it, we need to do it according to the will and the plan of God. And if there are some room, there's room for us to be a little creative in getting it done, so be it. Just obey the word of God. Just do what God has called you to do. Deliver the message. Do the work. Bring down the altars of Baal and the Asherah that is there. Let God use you, because God with you is a majority. Hallelujah. You can accomplish all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so verse 28 says, when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah which was beside it, it was cut down. And the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. So now there's a whole new altar that has been built, and there's this fire burning. There is this offering being offered on top. But instead of it being offered to Baal, it's being offered to the Lord. Hallelujah. There's been a change. Hallelujah. How awesome it is when you can come home having been ignited by the fire of the Spirit of God, under the anointing of God, having built an altar in your heart unto God, and having experienced the power and the presence of God, when you come home, old things are passed away and everything is now new. These men, they discovered newness. All of a sudden, there was a new spirit that had come in. It was different. Then things had changed. And so they were wondering, who did this? Who did these things? Who is the one who has caused this shift? And they said to one another in verse 29, who did this? And when they searched about and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, did this thing. And they realize that Joash's son, this is the guy who built these altars. This is the guy who was responsible for all of this Baal worship that was taking on. He was the overseer, the manager of this thing. And so they're like, this is strange. How is that possible? And so the men of the city in verse 30, they say to Joash, bring out your son that he may die. For he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it. Oh, now there is a riot in the city. Now there is protesting. Now there is all types of gathering together of people to rise up to now fend for Baal. People love Baal. I would submit today, people still love Baal. They still worship the Asherah, and they are still doing this type of evil. It's just that we have different names for it. And yet the heart and the mind is still the same. And the object is essentially still the same, even though the technology has changed. And you and I are the representatives of the kingdom of God. We are the ones who God has called to stand for the truth of God. Because God wants to do something powerful in the life of every person we know. God wants to use us to change the world, to change our families, to change the people that we engage in our lives. And we are the ones who sow the seed. We are the ones who bring the life and the light of God and of Christ to people so that the glory of the Lord can shine in their midst. So that God can do miraculous and amazing things. And so often we want to see miracles. We want to see the power of God, but we're not willing to pull down the altars of Baal and then build an altar of God on top. And this is what God is trying to help us to see, so that we would be willing to do things differently and not remain the same. We must hear the word of God and apply it in our lives and allow it to be spoken, to be declared. You see, Gideon, he did what God called him to do. Even with his fear, he allowed his fear to work for him and not against him. And you and I have to learn how to do the same thing, to let our fear work for us and not against us, so that we would be able to declare the truths of God. So Gideon did what God has called him to do, and now the men of the city are coming after him. And not are they coming after him, they came to his father and said, give us your son. Ooh, think about that for a minute. Here, the son is guilty of this horrendous act according to the community that he's in and the city, the people of the city. And yet the father stands between the people and the son. And because of the power of God arising in the house, because of the wisdom of the son, the father draws from his strength. And so the son is now impacting the mind of the father, the ways of the father. And the father is drawing strength because the son made a stand for the word of God. I would submit to you that when you make a stand for the sake of the kingdom of God, then your house will be impacted. You see, the people who struggle are the compromisers. The people who say, oh, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to do anything that's going to cause any ripples or any problem. I say, tear down the altars of Baal. I say, bring down the Asherah and allow God to be your source of strength. Let him be with you. Let him be for you. And you will see your house turned around. And the word of God says, you shall be saved and your house. And it will be saved because you make a stand as Gideon was able to make a stand. And so his father says, that's not going to happen. You're not taking my son. He's still my boy. I still love him. And I'm not going to let you kill him. And they were bold in their statement. They said, bring him out so we can kill him. And the father says, oh, no, 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 no. You will not kill my son. And so Joash, really impacted by the work of God in the midst of his house, he says to all who are standing against him here in verse 31, will you contend for Baal or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. And if he is God, let him defend himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let Baal defend for himself. Let him contend for himself because someone has torn down his altar. If this Baal is really real, if he's a god, why can't he defend himself? Why do you have to stand up for him? Why do you have to be the mouthpiece of Baal? No, let him defend himself. And saints of God, I would submit to you that the people in this world, they want to hold you and I to a standard that they themselves cannot stand to. And they are saying things to you and I that they themselves don't do. And it's because they're operating under a false god and a spirit of influence that is evil and not of God. And there is no truth in them. And this is what is happening in the world all around us. And this is what we see taking place and unfolding in our society. But the people of God must learn how to stand against the evils of this world. We must learn how to walk in the ways of God. All you need to do is obey the word of God. Just apply the principles of God in his word. You see, the people in the world, they don't have to serve God if they don't want to. They can go against God. They can carry on as heathens and people who are ungodly and operate in the place of darkness. They're free to do so. But you and I, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will obey the word of God, and we will apply the principles of God in his life, and the power of God will be available to those who are faithful. And so Joash, he stood and he made this declaration before the people, and it stops them in their tracks. And he says in verse 32, therefore on that day he named him Jerubbaal. That's actually Jerubbaal. I don't know why I can't say that name very well. Jerubbaal. And that is to say, let Baal contend against him because he had torn down his altar. In other words, the people gave him a new name and said, let's see if he prevails against Baal. Let's see if he overcomes the spirit of Baal. Little saints of God, that's really what the world is waiting for. They're waiting to see if Jesus really is your God, if Jesus really is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, if he really is the one whom you love and who you really serve. Or are you willing to compromise? Are you willing to build an altar to Baal and Asherah in your own family, in your own house, in your own life, to utilize all of the things that the world is taking advantage of under the influence of satanic inspiration? But we have a choice to make, and the choice ought to be for the Lord. And so this is what God is helping us to see as we are looking at this understanding that we are to be the witnesses that God has called us to be. In Acts 1, 2-5, it says, until the day when he was taken up, speaking of Jesus, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen, to these he presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is wrapping up his 40-day tour after his resurrection, and he is now come to a point where he is ready to have a transfer of power, if you will. There is a transfer of power and authority that is taking place because Jesus has now conquered sin. He has conquered Satan. He has conquered death itself. He has become victorious in all the things pertaining to God's creation. And he has taken back what Adam lost in the garden. And now all authority has been given to Jesus, has been given to him. And now he is now in the place where he has full control. And so he says, I am going to help you to accomplish the very things that I was able to accomplish. I'm going to enable you to operate in the same strength, in the same power, in the same wisdom and direction. I'm going to send you the helper who is going to enable you, empower you, strengthen you, so that you can do what I have charged you to do. Jesus is preparing his people. He is letting them know that the time has now come. And verse 4 says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. And Jesus had already told the disciples before he went to the cross that he was going to send a comforter. And he said that he would come and that he would be one who will enable us in all of these things. And so the disciples, probably knowing them, didn't remember what he was talking about at the time. But Jesus had already given them the information they needed. Isn't that the awesomeness of God? God always prepares his people for what is coming next. God is always preparing his people for what is coming next. He speaks to us. He gives us the ability to see and to discern. And he enables us to be prepared, to be ready. And this is why it's so important to align yourself with the Word of God. As we align ourselves with the Word of God, we will experience godly direction, inspiration, the strength of God and the wisdom of God and the glory of God will begin to work within us. In Acts 1:5, it says, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Not many days from now. And so Jesus is saying that you were baptized in the waters of John or in the same manner according to the word of God, in the ways of God, but now I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Or in the Holy Spirit. God is going to consume you. The idea is that God has done a work within you, and now I am going to consume you. That work is going to overflow and overtake your entire existence. I am going to rise up and overwhelm you with the Spirit of God. And this is what Jesus is saying to the people. And he says, so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And this demonstrates that they really didn't get what Jesus was saying. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs or seasons, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. And And he said to them, it is not for you to know. Let's try it again. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remote parts of the earth. And this is a picture of what God is doing with us. Each of us is having this experience. God is working through us. You need the Holy Spirit's power to come upon you so that you can be a witness, both in Jerusalem, which represents in your own home, in your own area of influence, your own town, your local area, and in all Judea. That was the surrounding region. That would be almost like the state outside of the town or the county. And then it goes to even the remote part of the earth. It means to areas that you don't even know exist, that are beyond you. But God has the ability to enable us to have an impact there. You see, this is what God is trying to do. This is a picture of the church. This is a picture of what the Spirit of God is doing in our lives. And as we receive the power of God, he enables us, even as Gideon was impacting his own father, his own household. And I'm sure that there was no real opportunity for Gideon to do a lot of talking to his father. I'm sure he didn't try to get him to go through a new believer's class or some sort of Bible class or course or lesson. He didn't have time, because in the morning they were knocking on the door. Who did this? So God was already at work. It was the fact that Gideon obeyed God and he did what God had called him to do that now we see it's impacting the Father. And God has called us to make a stand so we can have an impact on people as well. The people in our own household first, and others outside will be impacted. Every time you make a stand for God, you will be able to impact the lives of the people who are around you. You and I have great influence as the people of God. It says in verse 9, after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, two men in white clothing, or it's actually translated dazzling clothes, they stood beside him. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." And so they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And so here they are seeing Jesus go up. The last words of Jesus are, "Go and wait. Go and wait so that you can be empowered by the Spirit of God." The saints of God, I tell you, there is no greater experience than seeing Jesus ascend into heaven. Could you imagine the awe of seeing Jesus just rising up into the air? What, man, that would give you the woo. Oh, man, you'd be like, oh, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to run to Jerusalem. You're running to Jerusalem. Yes, he is God. He is. I told you. He is. He is. I knew it. Wouldn't you be excited? Wouldn't you be just so overwhelmed with joy and gladness? You would run to Jerusalem. And so they went. They ran to Jerusalem. And they went. And they gathered together in that upper room. And they waited for 10 days. And 10 days, that represents the completeness or the wholeness that God is finalizing that day. It was the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was the day that the Jews would celebrate. And it was the culmination. It meant the end of the fullness of God's time and his provision. God was completing his work. And 10 days later, he was completing his mission. The mission of Jesus going to the cross was not completed until the day of Pentecost, when his words as he ascended were fulfilled, when the Spirit of God was now imparted to the people of God. Hallelujah. You and I, we are able to receive all the things that God has for us because Jesus rose from the grave, and because he ascended and he said, "I will go and I will send a comforter." And this is what Jesus has accomplished. You and I now have a comforter. We have the Spirit of God. We have the third person of the Trinity who is working in us, who is stirring within us. In fact, the Word of God says it's like a seed. But let's just take a look at this. It says in verse 2, suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Oh my goodness, could you imagine? Oh, you're inside and all of a sudden there's a wind blowing and you're like, whoo. Oh man, you feel the wind of the Spirit as it comes in. And it says, and there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. Everyone in the room was filled. Everyone in the room was impacted with the Spirit of God. If you felt the wind, then you were impacted by the Spirit. And saints of God, this is a powerful, powerful visual that we can have, that God has given us. The word there for tongues is the word glossa. And the word glossa, it means fluid speech. Hallelujah. It's translated tongues because it also can translate the tongue in your mouth, the physical tongue. And sometimes it's translated languages, but the real meaning of the word is fluid speech. And so God gave them tongues or fluid speech. And this is an important distinction to hold on to, because it's important to understand that the disciples did not know what they were saying. And to the average person, what they were saying made no sense. They were speaking fluid speech. They were just saying words. They were speaking in a way that was not really understandable to themselves. And if they didn't understand it themselves, then that means God is doing something. God was doing something. And we know Paul talks about the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. And we don't have time to get into a whole thing on tongues, but we do a whole class on it, actually. And so, but it's important for us to understand that these languages were fluid speeches that came from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gave them utterance, the Word of God says. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, or glossa, fluid speech, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. It was the Spirit that was giving them the utterance, the stirring to speak. And they were speaking, but as they were speaking, something began to happen. I relate it to a windmill or a wind turbine. And so a windmill is where the Spirit blows and it just turns the windmill. But you and I are to be like wind turbines, where when the Spirit of God blows, there is energy being charged up within us. There is strength being stirred up within us. There's an anointing of God to empower us into action. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God empowers us into action so that we can tear down the altars of Baal, so that we can tear down or chop down the Asherah, so that we can do the will of God, so that we can be His witnesses. It is the Spirit of God that enables you to overcome fear. It is the Spirit of God that enables you to overcome the challenges and the difficulties that we face. And when two or three are gathered together in His name, oh, there's even more of God's power, even more of God's presence in the midst of His people. There's a stirring. I tell you, if everyone in this room had been praying all week long and had been meditating on the Word of God and had been seeking the Lord and genuinely pursuing Him with all their heart, every moment, every opportunity that they had, when we gathered together on a Sunday, there would be an igniting of God's presence and His power like never before. There would be healing. There would be deliverance. There would be all types of God workings in the midst of us by the Spirit of God, because we would unite together in the power of the Spirit. Unfortunately, we have become churches where we're so beat down, we're so tired, we don't have time. On Monday, we don't have time for God. Tuesday, we have a little time for God. Wednesday, we have a little bit of time for God. Or Thursday, we have some time, but not enough time. And by the time we get to the end of the week, we have just enough to crawl in the door, and we're hoping that the Spirit of God can breathe enough into us to get us to rise up and make it to Monday morning again. But that ought not be, saints of God. It ought to be the other way around. Every day we ought to be charging up so that by the time we get to Sunday, if there's anyone who is weak, if there's anyone sick, if there is anyone with difficulties or challenges or problems in their life, we could gather together. And as we sing the songs of worship, the Spirit of God would move. The presence of God would begin to stir and to flow. And there would be an anointing in this place so strong that every hindering spirit would be driven out, and that the glory of God would prevail in the midst of his people. This is what happened in the upper room. The Spirit of God came in, and the wind blew everything that was not of God out. Hallelujah. And then the Spirit of God came down so that rather than talking about their inefficiencies and their weaknesses and the fact that they couldn't do it because of who they were, we're just fishermen, oh, we're just tax collectors and sinners, nobody likes us, we don't have any friends in the world, and everything is working against us, they're chasing us down, they're trying to kill us, and God, I'm scared. Instead of that, they rose up in the power of the Spirit, unified under the anointing of God. Verse 5 says, now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. Now here they are, and they're speaking in this sound, and this is why you have people who are dead set on saying that, oh, they were just speaking real languages. They weren't really saying, you know, a lot of the things that we hear today. It's not the same. No, this is where the miracle is. The miracle is that there was a sound that was not really identifiable. It was the sound, it was like a wind, and it caused the people to speak with fluid language in words that they didn't comprehend or didn't understand themselves. But when the people heard the sound, it was so loud that the people came from all over town. Could you imagine the Spirit of God falling in this place to such an extent? We were so loud, people downtown Goshen were coming out of their homes, out of their apartments, gathering, cars were stopping on the street. All of a sudden you would hear, what is that sound? There is a sound, it's coming from One Coach Drive. Oh my God, what is that? I don't know, we better get over there. Let's go see what is happening. There's something going on. And they would run, and they came to this place, and all of a sudden they hear people shouting and making this outrageous sounds, and they're like, what is this? And you have some people saying they're drunk, they're out of their minds. In fact, a lot of people were saying that. And then you have others who were actually hearing them speak in their own language. And for me, this is where my emphasis is. This is the thing that is most intriguing. It's not the speaking in tongues so much, because even idol worshipers, they have things called speaking in tongues in other religions and things like that. It's a whole nother sermon, but I tell you, but it exists outside of Christianity. And so this is unique because they're now hearing in their own languages. The Spirit of God enables the hearer. Isn't it true that that when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, you cannot see the kingdom of God, and you cannot hear, you cannot perceive, you know, all of these things. So it's God who is enabling the people to hear the word of God in their own language. Hallelujah. You see, they didn't know what they were saying, but God was taking what they were saying and causing the hearing. And there's a whole, oh man, I wish I had the time. But when hearing is frequency, it's sound. And what you hear, the sounds, it's being translated by your brain so that when someone is speaking, you are able to understand it, interpolate it. And God is speaking through the crowd in the language of the Spirit in such a way that the people were hearing it at the core of who they were, the essence of their identities, their childhood. God originally created a place of origin, the language of their birth. God was speaking directly to them, and they could hear it. This is where the miracle is. This is what is unbelievable. It's amazing to see and to understand. It says they were amazed and astonished. Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Aren't these guys all from Galilee? They're like, what in the world? This is astonishing. And so it says, how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Now, if they were speaking in these languages, certainly they would say, oh yeah, this guy is talking in this language, and that guy's saying it in this language, and this guy's saying it. But they're like, wait a minute, what are these guys saying? These guys are all Galileans. They're talking stuff. What is that? But I'm hearing in my own language. This is of significance. This is why there's so much emphasis in this passage on what the people were hearing, because it's the experience that God is wanting to relate to us. God can use you. He can use me. And you might not even know what you're saying. You may not even understand fully what you're saying. But when you speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God will give you what to say. You might be saying, I don't even know how that even happened. I don't even know what I'm saying, but I'm just saying it. And all of a sudden, people, it comes clear in their mind, not necessarily because you're so eloquent in your speech, but because the Spirit of God is working through you and causing something to happen in the Spirit that enables people to hear the voice of God. And it impacts their heart. It takes it off of me. It takes it off of you. And it just says, just be filled with the Spirit. Just allow God to overwhelm you, to overtake you. Let him be the one who consumes you so that God can speak through you, so that he can use you. And the emphasis is not on so much on speaking in tongues, even though it is important because it does edify yourself. It says that they heard the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the distincts of Libya around Cyrene and the visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes, goodness, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongues, our own languages, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Saints of God, hallelujah. Has God done anything in your life? Has he transformed you? Have you torn down the altars of Baal and of the Asherah? And has your father repented and changed because of your witness and your testimony? Has your household been impacted? Has your life been transformed? Have you experienced the power of God in some way? Then speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord, of God. Let God speak through you. Let him use you. You are able. You are a vessel of God. It says, and they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? Oh, what does this mean? I don't know, but I tell you that we know that God is doing something. God is doing something great among us. It says in 1 Corinthians, Paul says 14:1, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, that you may speak the mighty words of God. The one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. And saints of God, you and I, we need to speak to God. You need to be able to commune with God. It's not just speaking to God, it's communing with God. It's where you become one. It's the Spirit of God and your spirit come together. There is this igniting of the Spirit of God, of the fire of God. It's what the Quakers would call the unctioning that would make them shake or quake. You come to that place where you're just experiencing God. You're filling up on God, and you're letting him overwhelm you in your in his presence, and you just allow God to be glorified. He says no one understands, but in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, when you're speaking in tongues, God is, you're speaking mysteries. You're speaking things that you don't really understand, but the Spirit of God does. And God is stirring within you. He's washing you. He's renewing you. He's energizing you. He's enabling you so that you can dispel fear, so that you can rise up and overcome all of the things that you know you really want to do. But there's that thing that you just go to do it, and it's like, I want to, but I just I'm being held back. Oh, you start speaking in tongues, and you begin to worship God, and you begin to magnify the Lord, and all of a sudden that weight comes off you. Have you ever experienced that, where the weight, all of a sudden, it's not that you don't become afraid anymore, it's just that it's no longer a hindrance to you. It's no longer, it might be there, but it's like you went, like Neo during the Matrix. And they're firing the bullets, and they were all coming at him. He said, no, stop. Stop. That's what speaking in tongues will do for you. It will say, no, stop. Hallelujah. And now you create an atmosphere where the Spirit of God is all around you and all about you. And now it's under your terms. You're like, no. Everything goes down. And now you have power to act. And you can move by the Spirit of God. And you have the ability to do and to accomplish whatever the will of God is. Why? Because it's not your strength. It's not you. You've drawn from a resource. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead, it dwells within you. It's available to us. We tap into it and we experience God. Hallelujah. And he transforms our life. Oh, this is what God is looking to do. He says, one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and for consolation. Now you've been empowered by the Spirit. Now you have the ability to speak, to impact people's lives. You see, they go together. And this is why after they spoke with tongues, they began to preach. Peter began to testify. People began to share. And people began to come to a place of understanding. God began to minister to people. And verse 14, it says, Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. But this is what the prophet Joel had spoke about. Hallelujah. I don't know why this thing seems to just start going on by itself. All right, are you gonna, you fixing it? And so Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all who are living in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. He was like, dude, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. There's no way these guys are drinking 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk. So that means they weren't speaking known languages, because they were there for the feast and for the celebrating of the Pentecost. And people came from all over the world. It's estimated about 1 million people came to Jerusalem for that time. And they were all there. They all knew languages. They were familiar with different languages and from people from different nations. They understood that. But what they heard was unique. It was something different that caused them to stand out. And as a result, you see that there is this move of God. It says these men are not drunk, Peter says. He says it's only 9 in the morning, the third hour of the day. And this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In other words, God has already told us this is going to happen, that this was coming. And all of a sudden, Peter says, I remember now. I remember now what Jesus said. He says, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will grant wonders in the sky above the signs of the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints of God, this is awesome. This is a new day. No longer the Old Testament prophet and the ways of the Lord working in the Old Testament. Now it's a move of the Spirit of God working through everyone, through common, ordinary, everyday people. God is able to take of himself and share it with you and I. In verse 37 of Acts 2, it says, "And now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" This is exactly where people need to be. This is what we want people to hear. What must I do to be saved? How can I have this experience? I want God in my life. Could you imagine living your life in such a way where you're impacting people, where they're wanting to know more about Jesus? So now you don't have to try to chase people down to try to share the word with them or try to tell them that they need Jesus. God says you can operate in the power of the Spirit, and the Spirit will draw them to you, and you just have to share the wonders of God and the testimony of the Lord. This is what the Spirit does. The Spirit draws. That's why Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And this is why you and I need the fullness of the Spirit of God within us. The Spirit of God draws people. It calls people, and it causes people to come. God will bring people to you, and you will just merely have to testify of the things that God has done in your life. Share the story of the gospel. God will give you what to say. You may not even know what to say. You might be trying to figure out, what am I going to say? What would I do? And in that moment, the Spirit of God is going to give you utterance. He's going to give you a word. He's going to enable you to say. In fact, it probably doesn't matter so much what you say, as long as you say something. As whatever you say, God is going to reinterpret it so that the hearer hears the wondrous works of God. And God will cause the very faithfulness that you're stepping out in to become fruitful, so that his word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it was intended by God. In verse 38, Peter says, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." Saints of God, God is calling. He is calling to himself. All we need is to operate in the fullness of the Spirit of God. All we need to do is abide in him, meditate on him and his words, and God will enable you to overcome. In verse 40 says, "With many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" Can't we say that today? Can't we also say to people, "Be saved from this perverse generation"? Oh, saints of God, the message doesn't have to change. Oh, it's still the same. We are declaring the wondrous works of God. God is the same healer, the same deliverer. He sets the captives free. He opens doors that no man can shut. He will make a way even when it seems impossible, so that God's word can have an impact on people's lives. Verse 41 says, "So then those who had received his word, they were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is what you and I are looking to accomplish in the midst of our lives. God wants to add to your soul and to souls, to your household and to your family and to your account, that the wisdom and the glory of God would be operating in their lives. And then it says, They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This is what you and I are to be about. You and I ought to be about fellowshipping and the breaking of bread and prayer. This is why we come together and how we experience the power of God. And so, saints of God, you, I say to you, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be his witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and even to the remote part of the earth, once you have been power-filled. Once the Spirit of God arises in the midst of your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.
I am yours. I am yours. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours. And you are mine. Jesus, you are mine. You are mine. Jesus, you are mine. I was running and you found me. I was blinded and you gave me sight. You put a song of praise in me. Oh, I was broken and you healed me. I was dying and you gave me life. Lord, you are my identity. And I know, I know, I know, I know, I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours. And you are mine. Jesus, you are mine. You are mine. Jesus, you are mine.
Well, thank you, God. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is stirring within you and that you know the power of his presence in your life, that you are operating in the strength and the wisdom and in the power of God, that God is using you as a wind turbine who is able to sense the wind and turn as the Spirit of God is working, and that you too would generate the strength and the power to live out the Word of God, that the Word of God would come forth from you, that you would be able to speak and testify of the wonders of God. God wants to change your house. He wants to change your lineage, to change your community, change all of the people that you have influence over. God wants to use you as his witness in this lost and dying world. And God is raising up a people who are able to operate in the wisdom and the power of the Spirit of God, that his glory would prevail among his people. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today, and we ask, oh God, that you would mold us and shape us, that you would draw us to yourself, bring an increase of your presence, of your strength, that we would hunger and thirst more and more for you, that we would abide and walk with you throughout the week, from Monday to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that when we gather together again, we come in the fullness of the Spirit of God to lift up holy hands and to honor you and to exalt your name, that healing and deliverance and every good work would come forth from us. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, oh God, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Oh, I am yours. I know who I am.
Well, God bless you all.
I know who I am.
I know who I am. Hallelujah.
I am yours. I am yours. And you are mine. Jesus, you are mine. You are mine. Jesus, you are mine. I was running and you found me. I was blinded and you gave me.